welcome back to the Connor Cape Show on Mile High Sports. I'm Connor Cape. On the other side of the glass, Jake Meyer. We have been holding it down for you for the past couple hours here on 1340, and we've talked about a lot. We've covered a lot, and we'll do it all again tomorrow. But the Rockies are winning currently 4-1, and Chatwood is apparently trying to be the stopper that we talked about at the beginning of the show, which would be great to see if you're a Rockies fan, obviously, because that's what you needed. You needed someone to come in and put a stop to this slide. But because the offense has been putting up runs, the offense has been doing its job for the most part, maybe not necessarily against Seattle, but 5 runs last night. That should be enough to win you some ball games. You shouldn't have to sweat those ones out. You should get Greg Holland in, get another save, win 5-3, win 5-4. That's a formula that successful teams use, and that's a formula that the Rockies should use. But we'll see how the rest of this one shakes out, see if Greg Holland gets a chance to earn another save. We've covered Champions League. Real Madrid won. They've won 3 times in 4 years. Obviously the best club in the world. We covered Jeremy Maclin being cut by the Chiefs and how unexpected that was and what it means for the AFC West, last year being one of the toughest divisions, now has 2 teams, the Broncos and the Chiefs, who have question marks all over the place and what they're going to be and what direction they're going to go, because both teams have star players at key positions where you say, I don't want to rebuild right now. I don't want to rebuild when I've got Von Miller, and I don't want to rebuild when I've got Justin Houston. But there are other question marks that might force your hand. So John Elway, John Dorsey, they're going to earn their paychecks. We covered the U.S. men's national team, who play Venezuela tonight in a friendly in Salt Lake City, and then play here in Denver at Dick's Sporting Goods Park on the 8th against Trinidad and Tobago. They really need to get 3 points out of that. And then June 11th, they play at Mexico in Mexico City at Estadio Azteca, one of the toughest places in the world to play, but where they have scraped by a draw and gotten points there before in World Cup qualifying. So it can be done, but it's a fortress. And we've talked about the NBA and the competitiveness of the NBA and whether or not having just 2 teams and a handful of players is good for the league, which you can be argued it is or isn't, or it's just the NBA. It's just part of the NBA's charm because it's always been that way, and it's always going to be that way because at any given time, there are only 5 to 10 players in the world who are difference makers in the sport. And you have a couple of them who are on the ends of their career, like guys like Dirk Nowitzki with the Mavs. Who's going to step in and take Dirk's place as the next foreign player who's a difference maker, who's a game changer, who's a franchise player and can legitimately win you a title like Dirk did? Who's next? Someone's got to fill that gap. Just like somebody had to fill Jordan's gap. You had Kobe, then you got LeBron. So, but I think the competitiveness part of the NBA, I think that's something that is fine to acknowledge, that there are teams that just, unless they land a star player who's from their town, like a LeBron from Cleveland, and they can get lucky and draft that guy and get him to come back if he leaves, you know, heaven forbid, then what do the other teams have to do? What does a team like the Nuggets have to do to contend for a title in the NBA? Are they out of it from the get-go just because they don't have one of those players and because they don't have one of those players coming anytime soon through the Denver High School or the Colorado State High School Athletic Association who wants to play for the Nuggets? Like, that's, you need to have that, or you need to have Greg Popovich be your coach. That's basically what you need in the NBA. And I guess it's fine because people still watch the NBA. People still go to NBA games. The NBA is growing. People love Adam Silver. If you had to take the temperature on the NBA right now, everyone would say, yeah, the NBA is healthy. The NBA is good. TV ratings are up. Well, local TV ratings are down, which could be a problem. But the NBA Finals, game one was 13.9 TV rating. Last year's was a 13.1. So those TV ratings are up. But you gotta have one of those players, or else you're in purgatory. You're in limbo. And then you get to the question of, well, why do I care about my local team? If we don't have one of those players and we don't have a chance at beating Golden State or beating Cleveland, why do I care? Why do I invest?
See, that's why I almost kind of like the super team aspect that Golden State and I guess you could say Cleveland brings, because it makes everybody else have to step up. And, you know, that's what I want to see. I want to see all the teams end up stepping up to match the super teams. I don't want to see them just fold. I want to see them step up. I want to see them try to match Golden State.
Well, right, exactly. Is Golden State, are we seeing 5 years into the future of the NBA with Golden State right now? Is Golden State just ahead of everyone else, and that is what every team will look like eventually? Is that style of basketball with those kind of players where before they even had KD, they won a title. So, and they didn't have a player like KD. They didn't have KD. They didn't have LeBron. They didn't have Anthony Davis. They didn't have one of those guys. Steph is probably the closest.
Right. But he's not 7 foot tall.
Yeah, but he's not 7 feet tall. But does that mean that's what the NBA is going to look like if you're Portland? Or if you're the Lakers trying to rebuild now and you have the number two draft pick, are you looking at the Warriors and thinking, how can we be that? How can we emulate that?
I agree. Actually, I'm pretty sure they do. I mean, everybody envies the Warriors, I'm sure.
Yeah, so I think maybe the Warriors are just 5 or 10 years in the future. And by 2022, 2025, the NBA will look a lot more like them. Maybe, you know, not with the same star power or a point guard like Steph who can do what he does, but similar style, similar structure to the roster. I think that's totally possible. We talked about the Rapids as well and their sustainable, whether or not their current plan is sustainable for competing for MLS Cup or even a US Open Cup. Like, if Pablo brings home a trophy, whatever it is, Pablo is successful because the Rapids are starved for trophies. And considering what everyone thinks of them around MLS, since they're toiling in last place right now, a trophy changes minds. You play for trophies. You win trophies, you're successful. Because that's the whole point. That's what we're playing for, trophies. And we talked about the Stanley Cup, and the Penguins are kind of just running away with it. But if you're a Preds fan, it's still fun to be along for the ride. And moral victories in sports are things I sometimes have issue with because you're professional, you're playing to win the game. But this is obviously an exception to that rule just based on watching crowd reactions in Nashville and what it's done to that city, what it means to that city right now. I seriously, seriously hope it continues on to next year, no matter what happens this year. They get swept. I hope these fans just come out, break season ticket records, and support the Predators like crazy next year. That would be fun. But winding down here with our final segment, Jake, have you seen the new Wonder Woman?
I actually haven't. I actually really want to watch it. You know, I saw the trailers, and Gal Gadot is playing the Wonder Woman role, right?
Yes.
And, you know, didn't she play in, I think she played in the Star Wars movie, right? In the new one?
Star Wars, did she?
I think so. I heard her name in that mix, but I'm not completely sure, so... I actually really want to watch Wonder Woman. You know, it's different than, you know, all the repeats. You know, you got all kinds of Superman movies, and you never really
right.
See
it. It's a new story.
Right.
It's a new story. It's not like they tried the Batman versus Superman. I know she was in that actually because Wonder Woman and all that stuff. But it's not like a retread. It's a new story. It's a new plot line, and I've heard nothing but good things about it. And somebody on Twitter even said it's the best superhero movie of all time. And then someone else on Twitter said, aren't we talking about The Dark Knight? As that might be the best superhero movie of all time. I don't know. But that's what I want to see. I like movies, and I like the fact that there's a new something, and it doesn't have Iron Man in it, and doesn't have the Incredible Hulk in it, and Chris Pine's in it.
Right.
Chris Pine might as well be the leading role. Chris Pine's fantastic. So, yeah, that's we're wrapping up here with the first edition of the Connor Cape Show. We'll be here tomorrow again at 2, and we will talk about the Rockies, and we will talk about Game 2 of the NBA Finals. We will talk about the Stanley Cup, how it shakes out tonight with Game 3. We will probably talk about the U.S. men's national team and their friendly against Venezuela, and we'll probably go a little more in-depth on the Broncos. But episode 1 is down. Jake, how do you think we did?
I think we did great. We killed it, man.
I think we did great, too. Thanks for tuning in. Follow us at Mile High Cape and at Jake Meyer Radio. That is M-E-I-E-R, Meyer. This has been the first edition of the Connor Cape Show on Mile High Sports Radio.